We've got an amazing Interrogation Tuesday coming up. Jeff Cirillo is joining us in just a few moments on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. This is Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio with Vinny Rutino coming up in just a little bit. And yes, our aforementioned guest, Jeff Cirillo, will be joining us, former Brewer, former big leaguer, currently a scout with the Los Angeles Angels. He doesn't need much of an introduction, but let me tell you a little bit about Jeff. Of course, he made his big league debut in 1994 with the Brewers. He played with them for his first stint anyway through the 1999 season. He was an all-star in 1997. He hit over 300 in three of his seasons in Milwaukee. Again, an all-star in 1997. He was terrific overall in his career. He hit 296. He had a 796 career OPS. He's also played for the Rockies, the Mariners, the Padres. Came back to Milwaukee briefly. Also played for the Twins and for the Diamondbacks. You'll also hear a really fun story about the time that he pitched against Craig Counsell. Yes, him, the third baseman, Jeff Cirillo, pitching against Craig Counsell in a game late in his career. So that's a fun story coming up in just a little bit. Before we jump into this interview, we got to thank our friends at Built Bar, of course. Built Bar, as we head into the new year, got to remember, it's a new year, so you got to have New Year's resolutions, and maybe getting fit and getting in shape is one of those things. And Built Bar is a great way to help you achieve your goals. Built Bar is 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and some would say maybe it's even better than a candy bar. It's so good, you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars that can be chalky or waxy and taste like chemicals, you know, it's not like the real stuff. So here's the thing. For this new year, you can go to BuiltBar.com or Built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order on Built.com. There's so many flavors. We've talked about this. There's even more flavors that we haven't even mentioned. Coconut almond, salted caramel, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream. You've got it all with Built Bar. So again, go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off at Built.com.
The one and only Jeff Cirillo. I cannot believe that you're joining the Locked On Brewers podcast. I feel honored because you know what? Of all the Brewers that I grew up watching, Jeff, I'm telling you, Yount, Molitor, Gantner, shoot, I even saw Cecil Cooper play when I was like 3-4 years old. I remember the Coop chants. I mean, Jeff, you are my favorite Milwaukee Brewer of all time. I'm not kidding. Yeah. I'm not kidding. And I want to hear, can you enlighten me, Dom, the fans, everyone that's listening, just your story? I mean, 11th round draft pick. I mean, USC, you have to be the best 11th round draft pick ever. Your career batting average, 296. I looked it up. You are like 290th all time, all time. It's on Baseball Reference. It's amazing. Like your OPS of 790. I'm sorry. I'm like starstruck right now, Jeff, even though we're talking off camera, like, you know, or long lost buddies, but I'm serious though. Like this is, tell me this. How did you become an 11th round draft pick? And then you just 14 years in the big leagues later, all the numbers and the accolades, the all-star appearances. Like, what's the story? Like, how did you do it? And just give us a rundown.
Well, you know, what's funny is that I pitched in college for 4 years, and my first 3 years in college, I didn't play a position. So, and I knew that my velocity was a little short on the mound, and I didn't play a position. So none of the scouts could, you know, they always say like, I think he's going to be the next so-and-so, or he reminds me of this person. Right. Heck, I didn't even get drafted my junior year out of college. And it was just one scout, his name is Dale Sutherland. And he's like, Jeff, he goes, I see you as a third baseman. And I'm like, Wow. Well, that makes one of us, because, you know, I had to play the outfield when I was in Little League, cause I was afraid of the ball Wow. On the ground. So it was kind of trial and error. To your point though, Vinny, and you and I are very similar, and I'm not sure what round you were drafted in, but you were also an overachiever, because, you know, and our games were similar. So I could see you emulating your game to my game. And it's funny you say that, because I would go back and I would say, okay, who's playing in the major leagues? Todd Zeal, Okay, Todd Zeal's one of them. Okay, maybe Ryan Sandberg. And I would look at Kevin Seitzer. So yeah. These are all guys that were similar profiles to myself. And I would see, what did they do in Beloit, Wisconsin, in Springfield, you know, or Peoria, in the Midwest League? What did they do at this age when they played in this league? And whatever they did, I'm going to do that and better. And so I would take that. And so you had to have a benchmark, right? Or something to shoot for. And so I would look at Todd Zeal or Ryan Sandberg or just whatever name would come up your thing. And be like, I got to do that. That's what I'm going to do. So, and I thought it was a really good thing for myself. I always had the ability to put the ball in play and I knew the strike zone really well.
But it's more than that. And just to follow up on that, because look, I performed in the minor leagues probably a little bit better even than you. I'm not even going to lie. But then once they added that third deck, I'm telling you, it was a different game for me. And it was. And so now you, on the other hand, I remember watching you at County Stadium. You were never overwhelmed. You were never intimidated by the major leagues. And that's what I think separates guys like you and me, like that didn't stick in the big leagues, is always up and down. And you, of course, 14 years later, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. And I know that you didn't water and you made the grounds crew harden the front of the plate so you could get more hits through the infield. You told me that. So
I did.
That's part of it too. But no, right. Seriously, it was a mindset. It's a definitely, I think, you know, and so, some guys have it. I think you had it. And I think that's, getting into what we might get into later about like scouting and stuff like that. I think that's what I always look for as a scout, that little it factor that you had. And so you're selling yourself short a little bit there, I think, but it was a remarkable career, Jeff. So kudos to you.
Well, I got to tell you, Vinny, you know, it was a time when the Brewers in 1994 were just about to go on strike. Bud Selig was kind of releasing anything that was of an expense, right? Okay. So our payroll was really low. And I, you know, I mean, you can look it up. I mean, you have to look pretty deep. But, you know, I was 3 for my first 27 in the major league. So there was a sticker shock. And so if I had come up with the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Dodgers, you know, that might have been my only opportunity. And then now I'm on the shuttle like you were.
Yeah, you
know?
Maybe.
But as it was, you know, I went on strike. And then another thing happened is we went on strike, finished the year in the 95. We started the season in May in 95, and our roster was 28. So I wouldn't have been on the top 25 of that roster.
Wow.
And as it was, I was, you know, in that roster on the team. And then I just kind of worked in a position, right, a role on that team as a utility guy. And then by the end of that year, you know, I'd got more playing time. And then by 96, I was playing every day.
And by the way, you're talking to a statistician, so I didn't have to dig very deep to find out. Yes, you started 3 for 28, but don't sell yourself short, because then you followed that up with a 3-28 stretch for the rest of July. So coming out of the All-Star break, you were guns blazing, man. What's that rebound like for a 24-year-old trying to, knowing a strike is coming, playing in a whole new city and trying to, you know, get your bearings going?
Well, I think there's something to be said there. You know, there's opportunity, and boy, you got to jump through it. It's a small window, right? You got to jump through that window, and you got to get opportunities. And I got more opportunities, but you know, there is a sticker shock. I don't think the kids have it as much today because, you know, the minors and the majors, they try and do such a good job of integrating and acclimating these younger players, you know, sharing, you know, clubhouse. Let's just say they put the clubhouse down in Maryville, right? You know, they're working out basically in the same gym, you know, so they're seeing those players. When I was coming up, we were in Chandler, we were a mile down the road and you could hear the noise and, you know, hopefully your number got drawn and you were an extra guy that got to come up for the day. Today, I think that they're really trying to get away from that sticker shock of seeing Roger Clemens or, you know, talking to Cal Ripken and we're getting killed and I'm playing second base and it's 1994. And he's like, hey, what are you doing, kid? I'm like, well, 2 years ago, I was afraid of the ball playing third base in USC. And now I'm playing second base in the big leagues. So you never know.
Life comes at you fast.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's a good point because I think, you know, I at the end of the day, you're right. I think teams are trying to play. The Oakland A's have been masters at this, I think, for years and years, where they made it feel like guys coming up from AAA, hey, you got to help us win. Whereas you just had to be in the right place at the right time to experience that. I tip my cap to Ned Yost. He did a phenomenal job, World Series ring, but he made it a little bit intimidating in general for guys like me, not for guys like Prince or for JJ Hardy or for guys that he knew he needed. Right. But for guys like me, like you better get a hit here in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. That was my big league debut. Right. So, I mean, anyway, I think you're right. I think guys and managers are trying to make it feel like, okay, this is no different than the game that you've been playing in AAA. So we need you to help us win. But that's a really good point.
Who are some of the favorite managers? I mean, you played for a handful of teams after Milwaukee, of course. Some of the managers that either you A, played for or have come across and played against, perhaps, that you've kind of noticed and seen why their styles worked so well in the ways that maybe they did at that time.
Well, I think as I've become 52 years of age, I think that good managers have to have really good players. I think bad managers lose games. I think that a good manager just kind of stays out of the way and lets the horses run. But I will say that, I had my favorites. Buddy Bell was probably my favorite in the sense, for something you might not think about, but, and Vinny, you can totally relate with this. If we were on a 7-game losing streak, he'd be the guy, I'd be cracking a beer out there with the rest of us. And he goes, I can handle the losing streaks. You know, I can handle the ups and downs. He goes, but man, dealing with that media every day, we'll get out of this. You know, but he'd also be on that flip side where we'd have like a 5-game winning streak and you'd hit a pop up and you felt like you were running hard down the line or just a regular fly ball to center field and you don't run hard. And he's the first one that's yelling from the dugout, you better run. You know, so I don't think that he never lost the perspective of how hard it is to play and even how much harder it is when you're struggling as a team and individually.
That's so great.
Yeah. The best managers I played for were just like that, right? I mean, it was not necessarily the results that they were kind of, you know, hanging their hat on. It was more how you play the game. I mean, it's really that cliche. It really is that cliche at the end of the day.
You know, the other thing too, Vinny, I'm sorry to cut you off there,
but no, go ahead.
The other thing that Buddy did, and I never forgot it, is I remember a guy named Aaron Ledesma we had on our team, and he was sending him down to AAA, right? And I had gone into his office and I didn't know that he was sending him down, and he was beat up. He's like, man, Jeff, I had to send down Aaron. I didn't want to. He goes, you know, I'm taking in, thinking about him, his family, his kids, his wife, which was really endearing. I really, really like that.
Yeah. I've heard that about Buddy Bell. I've heard he's the best. So I've heard that from a number of different guys. And I also heard Council's the best as well. So, I mean, obviously guys that haven't played for both of them, I heard that those are the two best managers in the major leagues. So
that's
pretty
great.
Cool stuff.
Talking Milwaukee time. So let's talk about the good times too, for yourself, Rillo, that, you know, those late 90s teams with the Brewers, obviously no postseason, but you had some stellar seasons there with the Brewers. What was that run like? You got to represent the Brewers in the All-Star game. What are your fondest memories of, you know, from that 96 to 99 99 run or so with you with Milwaukee?
Well, it was always the, you know, wait until we get the stadium, right? And we were just kind of waiting for that stadium. And look, when you're cutting your teeth in the major leagues, you don't really care where you're playing. So, and we get a player, let's just say Marquise Grissom or someone else that would come to us from maybe a bigger market, or Bob Wickman, or just one of these guys that came from the Yankees, or, you know, Marquise had just come from the Indians at Jacobs Field, and he just had a World Series ring with the Braves, and now he's coming to County Stadium. So probably a little different perspective than that, but as far as a young player and you're cutting your teeth, I mean, the fans, the media, the travel, you know, it's a pretty easy place to cut your teeth.
That's fantastic. And then we mentioned Council briefly. I do got to go back to when you pitched against him. That's everyone's favorite story, of course. Yeah. He's obviously shook your hand since, I hope. But for those who don't know, can you kind of set the scene about a time that Jeff Cirillo, the pitcher, faced Craig Council, the hitter, in a Major League Baseball game?
Oh man, that was my last year playing, and you know, you're on the outs, and Vinny, right? You know, you're the 25th man on the rosters when you're the guy that's being asked to call. So Bob Melvin asked me, he goes, "Hey, Arell, if we don't score some runs here in the ninth, you want to pitch the ninth inning, the top of the ninth?" And I'm like, "I've been waiting 14 years to pitch the ninth inning."
This is what I did.
And so I go out there, and you know, I just had knee surgery, so my knees kind of wrapped. I got this sleeve on because, you know, I had a little tendonitis in my elbow, so I had to put like this almost this elbow tourniquet thing around my arm to open it. And then I had to wear sleeves because you couldn't have something on your arm. So we're in the middle of Arizona, right? So I'm blazing on this mound, and I just got in Arizona like a week. I just got picked up off waivers by them, and they're lucky. The Brewers are lucky that I didn't have like the full season, because I would have gone into full Monty, like striking out and shaking people. I know that Council was in a huge slump at the time, and you know, and he was at in that time he was a role player, so you got a, you know, red alert, you know, you get up by a lot of guys. And so, you know, I was getting the second tier guys, but Council was the first guy I faced, and he kept fouling off the pitches. And I think that I was throwing like a 55 mile an hour changeup, and he literally hit one over the, you know, almost into the batter's box, into the on deck circle for the Brewers. And I just threw something that was soft, and he just swung and missed, and I struck him out, man. But the next hitter was Billy Hall, and I threw him a 3-2 cutter. And he could have called it. I could have rung him up, and I would have let Billy Hull know.
That's so epic. I read on the article that somebody said he threw a knuckleball in that game too. What were you rolling out there, coming off the bench and ready to throw?
Well, after I struck out my first major league hitter, I was like, okay, let's open up the chest a little bit here. And so I was throwing a knuckleball, and Mark Grace is doing the color for the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Oh, Johnny Estrada's got the scouting report. He's a switch hitter, but you know, whenever he faces the knuckler, he goes right-handed." And Johnny Estrada was hitting right-handed off me because he had heard about the knuckleball, I guess.
That's so great. I love that story.
Hey guys, Dom here again, jumping in real quick to tell you about our friends at Bet Online. They've got you covered this holiday season as we head into the new year with more props and odds and lines than ever before as we go through college football bowl season and approach the NFL playoffs. Bet Online is your number one spot for all the sports action this season. You can head to their website on your mobile device today, and you can sign up to receive 50% off on your welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right. You're going to get 50% back on your first deposit. You throw down $100, you're going to get 50 of it back for free the first time when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's all one word, LOCKEDON, on Bet Online. They've got basketball, football, NHL, you name it, they've got it to bet on. It's an amazing site. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So don't wait. Take advantage of these amazing offers on Bet Online with the promo code LOCKEDON. All together, LOCKEDON. Bet Online, where the game starts. You're going to get 50% coming back to you. Go to Bet Online.
This is coming from a guy, though. And to let everyone in on a little secret, Jeff Cirillo still plays in a men's league. And and please elaborate more on that, because you play in a men's league because you love pitching, right?
Yeah.
So explain this. I mean, you can pitch. It's not like you're just some position player lobbing it in there like they do nowadays. I mean, you're trying to get guys out. You have multiple pitches for strikes.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah. So explain a little bit more.
You know, I play in this over 50 men's World Series of baseball in Arizona. It's at the National Division, and you'd be surprised that the names are rolling out there. Troy Percival's out there. He's got no ligament in his elbow. He's literally throwing sidearm, and he's about three bills, and he's just slinging it in there. So there is a ton of guys, and I love to pitch, and I've always had a pitcher's mentality. Even on the plane, when I'd be on the plane, always my best friends, the guys that I always sit with, would be the catchers. So whether it be Damian Miller, Brent Maine, or Mike Matheny, I'd always seem to gravitate and be best friends with the catchers.
That's amazing. It's probably why you hit so well, right? Because you were a guy that kind of thought along with the pitcher. I don't know if you – I don't think you guessed. Did you? Were you a guess hitter? Oh, yeah, you did guess. Okay.
But absolutely, Vinny. When I was in the minor leagues, for sure, you know, because I had a pitcher's mentality.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, everyone guesses wrong, I guess, but – you know, I think it helped me for sure.
Yeah, I was more of a guy like could feel certain pitches coming. I never trusted myself enough, I think, to just sit on a something, but I could always feel it. Right. And then,
right.
But I, yeah. So yeah, that's interesting, man. Awesome. What a, so let's talk about real quick. Let's talk about fantasy camp. How excited are you for fantasy camp? And
man, Vinny, I'm so excited that you're coming to fantasy camp. You are going to have so much fun with these guys. And living in Wisconsin, as you are, you're going to leave there. Well, at least 13 of them are going to be your new best friends, because they're going to be, you're going to be managing them then. And you're going to have mad respect. You're going to have respect for the guys that are your best players, but you're going to have even more respect for the guy that, like, this is my fantasy. I'm terrible at baseball, but thank you. So, you know, and there's 140 of them that are coming there. They're there for a week. They're playing 8 games. They're in all sizes, shapes, and ages, you know? So, and by the end of the week, they are beat up, but they love it. And I tell everyone that, I'm like, if you have the time and you have baseball and you could do it with your father or your brother, that, you know, a golf trip comes and goes, but if you have the means, this is an experience like no other.
What is it like for the guy, you know, for you, big league, and you've got all these guys, this roster is amazing for fantasy camp. And if somebody's listening and interested in trying to join, it is sold out, unfortunately. Maybe next year, hang out with our buddy, Bill Schroeder, of course. But the experience for that first timer that you see, when you see them, their eyes are lighting up when, you know, the who's who's is walking in the door during kangaroo court or whatever it is. What's that feeling like for you, who gets to see it year on end?
Well, that's funny, because, you know, us being players, we don't really see that, like that starry eyed look, you know, like, oh my gosh, there's Greg Vaughn, or there's JJ Hardy, or there's Vinny Rotino, right? And Jeff Jenkins and Ben. I mean, I'll tell you what, Schroeder's done a good job. The roster for the coaches is amazing. And I think the best part is when they come in and they see their uniform. They're in the Major League spring training clubhouse. They have their own locker. They have their uniforms. They have the plate. And they're treated like major leaguers, good and bad. You know, if they don't have, you know, if they go take a leak and they don't have their shower shoes on, they're getting written up in kangaroo court, and they're going to get embarrassed.
Hell so, yeah, you should be getting fined for that. Absolutely.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right. That's trainer's so nightmare. You know, the trainers get in on it, and then the clubbies get in on it. I mean, it's everything that they would get in a week of spring training.
That's so great. I do want to touch to you two guys. Obviously, Vinny, you're now joined the lowly podcast world with guys like me, but you do have a scouting background. Jeff, you are still scouting. What are the, when you're playing, do you think of yourself as becoming a scout, or how does that process, Jeff, for you first? Like, how did that process work for you to transition into the scouting world?
Well, I wanted to do something, and I did a little TV with the Brewers, but right. It was just hard to get back and forth from Seattle. I mean, Washington's a little bit more tucked away than you might think.
Absolutely.
You know, and so kind of coming and going, and then my kids were young. You know, I think my oldest at the time was 07, so he was 11, and then I had 11, 9, and 7 year old. And the scouting thing for me was a nice, you know, I was able to smell the roses out the door, but it just kept my foot in the door. And I was able to set my own schedule, stay mostly on the West Coast. And so I could jump back and forth, whereas if you're coaching, you know, you're basically raising other people's kids. You know, and I felt like I was gone enough. I had missed enough. So it was my ability to do both.
And correct me, I mean, for scouting for me, Jeff, and I don't know how you feel about it too, is when I played, I was always paying attention, and I know you were too. And I was talking to players. I was always talking to pitchers, coaches. I would have my ear in on every single conversation from guys like you and Jeff Jenkins sitting there talking baseball, or you know, you or Damian Miller or something like that. I was always eavesdropping on those kinds of conversations because I was always fascinated by the game just in general and like what it takes to be a major leaguer and all the little nuances. And Dom and I talked about all the little nuances yesterday on the show. And those are the things that fascinate me. And so with scouting, it's like, okay, that is the ultimate job for guys that pay attention to detail and just love the little nuances of the game. Because you know, you probably don't even notice that you're noticing things now, right? Watching so many games, and like other people, they just don't see it. And that's what I found so fascinating about scouting. And I kind of always was drawn to it while I was playing and talking about, you know, I always joke about, like, I loved the idea of scouting when I would show up in spring training and I would say, they gave this guy $2 million. What, who signed this guy? You know what I mean? So like, that was always a fascinating part of it as well. But yeah, it's just the idea of like those little nuances and paying attention to detail about the game. It was fascinating to me. And I that's what I loved about it. But yeah, is that, I mean, kind of the same idea for you?
Same idea. Yeah. I mean, I even took it. I mean, that same guy that was in Beloit, Wisconsin, you know, reading baseball cards of Ken Caminiti or Todd Zeal or Kevin Seitzer. When I was, especially later in my career, when I was more in the mentor, you know, veteran type role with the Brewers, I'd always grab the media book. And during the game, I would be reading the media book and seeing what this guy did in the minor leagues. And it was the same thing. You know, it's just down the flip side now. I'm like, oh, let's see what this guy is. Let's see, you know, where his shortcomings might, or, and then you'd be like, oh, that's a dude, you know? So, and you know, you look at their hobbies. It was weird, right? You're still creating scouting reports. Like you said, you're picking up information you didn't even know that was valuable, but it was.
So piggybacking off of that, what do you, so the game's changed obviously from when we played, and it's changed quite drastically and in some ways for the better, I think. I mean, I think if I had some of the hitting instruction that is available now to players, I think, yeah, that could have helped me, right, to tweak some things. But then in some ways, not so good, right? What is it about today's game that you find different and maybe good and bad?
Well, there's just, I mean, when I went from the Brewers to the Rockies, and I went to the Rockies to the Mariners, and you just saw the difference between the National League and the American League game. And I didn't like the American League game. There was no strategy. There was no thinking of double switching. There was no, you know, working around the pitcher, you know, and in today's game, there's, you know, there's no hit and run because there's a big shift on and you're not really opening a hole. And plus the guy's throwing 95 miles an hour. So it's not like you can just wait on a breaking ball and still react to the fastball. Bunting, you know, it's, I mean, we know we'll set up the jugs machine and you'll bunt 85, or the, you know, Davey Nelson will be throwing you BP at 45 miles an hour and you're getting the bunts down. You know, it's a little different trying to put a bunt down against a guy throwing 96, sliders, you know, especially if strikeout especially if strikeout rates are 25-30%.
Right.
You know, so that part of the game, it kind of bums me out, right? Because there's no strategy. There's no that guy that can, you know, handle the bat, move the ball, you know, hit behind the runners and things like that. So that bumps me out. I think that if they go to a robo umpires, I think it's going to change the catching position forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw it in A-ball last year. You know, in A-ball last year, the pitchers, they couldn't pick off the lefties. There was no, you know, hold and wait and see, you know, and hold the runner and then pick over, you know, they were going first move. The right-hand pitchers, they had to step off the rubber and pick, you know, because they're getting ready for the catcher to come up, and then they're going to change the catching position where the guy's going to be standing up, throwing 1-7s down to second base.
Right.
So that I'm not a fan of. The velocity is great. The speed is great. There's great players. But there's some things that, you know, I wish were a little different.
There are a couple of things, though, as we get ready to wrap up, that we can end on a positive note. You work for a very good team in the Angels. We cover a very good team in the Brewers. I'm not going to tell you specifically what to look out for, what to be excited about, but, I mean, these are two teams that should be very exciting come 2022, in your opinion, right?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, back when we roll into town and you look at the schedule and you see, oh, my goodness, we're not going to miss any of the big three. We're getting Maddux, we're getting Glavine, we're getting Smoltz, you know, and I guarantee you that around baseball, when they'll set up the thing, it's like, who are we getting in Milwaukee? And you're looking at Peralta and Barnes and I'm drawing a blank on the third one, right? Woodruff, yeah. Right? And you're like, oh, sweet, we're missing one of them, you know? So
exactly.
Pretty good.
That's awesome. Well, hey, you get to watch, you get to be in the organization with the reigning unanimous American League MVP. And I think any team will be like, oh, good, we miss Ohtani on the mound this week too. So I think the same thing happens with your club as well.
Man, I just really, I mean, I think for baseball, and Vinny, you would say the same things, like, man, just give me 1 year with Ohtani and Trout healthy and see what happens.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. Well, Cirillo, we really thank you so much for your time, Jeff. And we want to wish you a very happy new year. We know Brewers fans absolutely still love you, as you sure you can tell every time you come back to Miller Park or American Family Field. It's pretty cool to talk to you, and we wish you all the best, man.
All right. Hey, Vinny, sun is free, buddy. Get some sun before you come down to Arizona.
Can't wait to get down there. Hey, and I'm going to campaign for the Walk of Fame. Let's go. Yay. 34 and a half war? Come on. Let's go.
Absolutely.
Hey, got to hit a few more tank shots, I guess. I don't know. You know, I mean, guys that hit the singles drive the bugs, and guys at the homers drive the Rolls Royces. So.
296 career hitter, man. You did your job. You knew what you were doing with a bat.
All right. All right. Thanks, boys.
Jeff Cirillo is one heck of a character, man. That was a whole lot of fun to chat with him and walk down memory lane at good old County Stadium with him and Vinny today. Don't forget, we do not have an episode coming out tomorrow with the holiday week. We will go with our Throwback Thursday series on Thursday, and then no episode on Friday either for New Year's Eve. So just be on the lookout. No episode tomorrow, Wednesday. There will be an episode on Thursday. There will not be an episode on Friday. So another three-show week, and then we'll get back to normal coming up in the 2022 year. So for Vinny Rattino, I'm Dominic Catronio, and for Jeff Cirillo, of course, and all of you listening here on the Locked On Network, thanks so much for making us your first listen of the day on this Interrogation Tuesday. Don't forget to like and subscribe and to rate our podcast and wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, subscribe to our YouTube page. It really helps us out in the long run. So for Vinny, I'm Dom. We'll see you guys on Thursday for Throwback Thursday.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.